exclusions apply. See store jcp.com for details.
Josh Jackson or James Daniels, who's going to be the bigger second round steal? 319-366-1600.
From freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of Eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Well, we're waiting.
Get on with it.
Yes, get over with it.
I am enjoying the scene.
Get on with it.
It's probably a combination of the thoughts running through James Daniels and Josh Jackson's head right now. The rare Caddyshack into Monty Python clip for the Open 406. Welcome in. It is a Friday edition of the Todd Brommelkamp Show. Fridays here brought to you by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. You can bank with them in Iowa City and Coralville. Find out more about Two Rivers Bank and Trust at tworivers.bank. Todd Brommelkamp and Alex Kuhn with you for the next 3 hours, and here's what it looks like for you. Dan Kadar of SB Nation will be with us at the bottom of the hour. He is with the site Mocking the Draft. We'll take a look back on what can only be described as an extremely interesting first round of the draft last night. Cole Bear of the Cedar Rapids Gazette is going to join us in hour number two. It is spring football day for the UNI Panthers, 6 o'clock tonight, free admission for anybody who's heading up to the Unidome to watch Mark Farley's crew. Jack Dom is with us at 5:30. The Mount Mercy baseball coach joins us every Friday during baseball season for his weekly segment, Touching All the Bases. And then at 6 o'clock tonight, while we are not stepping aside for the start of round two, we will be with you during round two, as we, just like many of you here in Eastern Iowa, anticipate that both Josh Jackson and James Daniels will be going off the board very early in the 6 o'clock hour. Both Hawkeyes falling out of the first round, which is, of course, unfortunate for them, unfortunate for the Hawkeyes. They don't get to put that feather in their cap. But I think we can all agree that even though James Daniels was not drafted last night, that he won the draft by appearing on national TV in a combination of pajamas and a smoking jacket. James Daniels, you win at life. You may not have been a first-round draft pick. That's not going to be on your Wikipedia page, but you win at life for going on national TV in your pajamas with a smoking jacket. That was a good look. Josh Jackson there at the draft with the, did you see the lapel pin?
I did.
He's spending a little bit of that money before he's made it, and he's going to make less money today than he thought he was going to at this time yesterday, which is, of course, unfortunate. I don't know where we start here other than the fact that we need to mention the Hertin and Stocker Jewelers text line, because I have a feeling you guys are going to want to chime in on a number of things with us today related to the draft. 319-366-1600. We also have our final $30 La Cantina gift card for you. La Cantina has three locations across the corridor, one in Marion and two here in Cedar Rapids. We'll be giving that away sometime before 7 o'clock tonight. Baker Mayfield goes off the board first overall to Cleveland. No surprise there. I think if you're a Jets fan, you're probably pretty happy with the fact that Sam Darnold fell to you at number three, although, as we'll get to in Love It or Leave It coming up in the 6 o'clock hour tonight, maybe there's a little too much truth-telling going on with Todd Bowles and the Jets with regard to whether or not they had Sam Darnold at the top of their draft board. Saquon Barkley at 2 to the Giants, tremendous pick there. And then we saw movement on the back end of the draft, a couple trades to come up and get quarterbacks. Josh Allen, who we saw at Kinnick Stadium last year with Wyoming, is now the franchise quarterback of the Buffalo Bills. And Josh Rosen, not too happy to have fallen to, was it 10, right?
Yes, with 10.
Arizona trading up at 10. I love what the Packers did last night. I absolutely love what the Chicago Bears did last night. You got Bears fans, in my opinion, one of the best defensive players in the draft. And you, that to me is like having the third or fourth overall pick. If you take the quarterbacks out of the equation, I mean, holy cow. Roquan Smith, as he was described on the draft coverage last night, the NBCSN draft coverage, I was watching the Cubs and the Brewers for the most part on Thursday. The Bears drafted themselves a football player, which may be my favorite way to describe somebody who plays football, because I would hope that everybody being drafted between Baker Mayfield and Mr. Irrelevant can be described as a football player.
I would hope so. But yeah, I like what the Bears did, and the regional teams, for the most part, I thought had solid drafts. A little bit of a question mark. I know there are Vikings fans in this area, and many of them wanted to see Josh Jackson go to the Minnesota Vikings. Instead, Mike Hughes from UCF went there, very talented player, but has many, let's just say, character red flags behind him. So the Vikings say they feel confident after chatting with Hughes about his past discretions. I think he went to North Carolina, was kicked out of school.
A frat party, an altercation or something at a frat party, and... Well,
yeah, there were some concerns.
What was the line you said the other day about with regard to whether somebody was talented enough they'd be drafted?
Yeah, Bill Polian once said that if Hannibal Lecter could rush the passer, his problems would be described as an eating disorder.
There you go. That is a tremendous way to sum up how. And look, Josh Rosen, you're not going to convince me he did not get penalized for being too intelligent and too much of a progressive thinker.
No, he did.
I mean, the National Football League is the only place in the world, I swear, where you are penalized for being too intelligent.
Correct.
I mean,
he has other things that he could be doing other than football. That's a red flag to us.
They want dumb sacks of flesh to go out there and crash into each other like human demolition derby. That's what they want. If you're smart and think for yourself and have opinions about things other than football, if you are not stick to sports guy, the NFL is going to penalize you for it.
Tone on the text line is a Raiders fan.
All right.
And Tone.
Oh, I'm sorry. Somebody said earlier this week that they didn't like bad impressions on a low budget sports show. Did I just do a bad impression of Chris Berman? I'm so sorry.
I thought that in there, maybe there are Raiders fans out there that want me to.
I want you to go
reassurance
go
as to why
all in on this.
Why this was a good pick.
I'm going to tell you something before Alex discusses this selection here. Alex was not necessarily making fun of this guy, but he showed me clips 3 weeks ago of the player that the Raiders drafted 15th overall.
Name is Colton Miller, was left tackle for UCLA, and I think the ironic part of this whole draft with regards to Miller and with regards to Rosen is one of the very guys that was responsible for Josh Rosen falling in the draft was selected five picks later by the Oakland Raiders. The guy is 6'9", 320, and put up unbelievable numbers at the combine. There's one issue. He's terrible at football.
Hey, other than that.
He can't block anybody. And his technique is so bad that unless he completely overhauls it and fixes his misstep on his kick slide, he will never be able to block anybody in the NFL. He shouldn't worry about Von Miller or any of the really good pass rushers in the AFC West. He should worry about the safeties, because if it continues, if his technique is as bad as it's been in college, the safeties in the NFL will knock him on his rear end. So I thought that was a horrible reach by the Oakland Raiders. A lot of people on Twitter, a lot of the draft analysts were saying that they had a fourth round grade on him, that he wasn't even in their top 100.
No. Not Twitter. Offensive line Twitter.
Offensive
which earlier
line
today
Twitter.
In the office I learned apparently is a thing.
Oh, it's a thing.
But you showed me many of those guys had three-digit selections or rankings on him,
yes.
As in the 108th best player available. But the Raiders, You see, you can take them Oakland, Los Angeles, Las Vegas. It doesn't matter. You can take the Raiders out of a city, but you can't take the Raiders out of the Raiders.
And the worst part about this whole thing was they needed a safety. They needed somebody in the secondary. And two picks later, Derwin James was selected at 17. So one guy who everybody was raving about his versatility and his ability to hit and one of the best players in the draft. They passed on a need, drafted a developmental prospect at best. And oh, by the way, Tom Cable's their offensive line coach, who has had a terrible, terrible track record at developing offensive linemen. And then two picks later, a guy, one of the best players in the draft, at a position of need is selected. So a tough night for John Gruden.
Que sera, sera. 319-366-1600. Who do you think won or lost the draft last night? Here's my question. Does it seem, for all of the days and weeks of talking about how the Browns could not screw up having the first and fourth overall pick, does it not seem like Cleveland did not get maximum value out of having the first? Now, I will say Baker Mayfield, I thought, was an inspired choice first overall. And again, I think the Jets wanted Baker Mayfield at 3. They were a little disappointed to settle for Sam Darnold, yep, which is strange because most people had Darnold being the first quarterback taken. Baker Mayfield, an inspired choice. Denzel Ward at 4, the jury, I believe, is out on that one.
It is, and it's interesting because I think that there were a lot of instances in this first round that show you exactly, Todd, why mock drafts are ridiculous. Because teams went completely against them, and Denzel Ward, who most people had in the top 10, ends up going ahead of everybody's favorite defensive player, Bradley Chubb.
Speaking of mock drafts, the Sporting News has Josh Jackson and James Daniels both going within the first 4 selections tonight as round 2 gets underway at 6 o'clock. We are not stepping out early. However, we have built the program tonight around the start of the second round because we anticipate Josh Jackson and James Daniels being drafted while we're on the air. So this is going to be like a simulcast, except we are not on location in Dallas. Let's head to the phone lines, 319-366-1600. It's Sonny in Iowa City, and he wants to talk about, the NFL draft. What's up, Sonny?
I think that my favorite time of year is right after the NFL draft, after people have been making mock drafts and mock drafts and mock drafts for the last, quite literally, 365 days, and they're 100% blown up. I think that you have a better chance of picking the NCAA tournament flawlessly than you do of even getting the first round right in a mock draft. Yet people put so much on it, so much so that it worries me that people like Josh Jackson go out and buy a pin like that. I hope that that was, like, loaned to him or something, because if you're counting your money before it gets there, then that is a very, very dangerous thing to do, particularly from what other people say. I thought that the Raiders were done with the kind of stuff that used to happen with the Crypt Keeper in charge, but apparently they are not. I wish I could remember the name of the guy back in the late 90s that they drafted that wasn't even on Mel Kiper's board because the guy ran a fast 40 in the combine. That was a great time to be a Raiders fan. Local teams I thought did well, but I mean, it's the draft. Some of these guys are going to miss enormously, but I think the takeaway on this is please, please stop doing mock drafts.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. I'm with you, Sonny, but it's not going to happen. They generate clicks, and people like seeing. If you're a Hawkeye fan, you get irrationally invested in where these guys are projected to go. There were Hawkeye fans who were all in last night. They were excited. They were amped to see Josh Jackson and James Daniels go off the board. And I got to admit, at about 16, I started tuning in, paying a little bit more attention. And I was looking forward to seeing it last night. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. James Daniels got a little bit of love at the end of the draft when Baltimore traded up for 32. They needed a center, and instead I think they got the steal of the draft last night. How's that for a hot take? Because the way that the rules are set up right now, you get an extra year for the first round pick. So if Lamar Jackson pans out, Baltimore has 5 years with him at a relatively decent amount of money as opposed to four. So a good risk on their part. Let's head back to the phone lines, 366-1600, and Tyler here in Cedar Rapids wants to weigh in on the draft. Go ahead, Tyler.
Hi, thank you for letting me on. I listen to you guys every day. Hey, I have kind of two things. One, I want to get you guys' take on, like, the Browns. I mean, the Browns, for starters, should have taken Saquon 1 because they would have had Baker Mayfield at 4. I mean, that's a fact. And then my second part is, you know, I'm a giant Eagles fan, and we had the opportunity to have both James Daniels and or Josh Jackson at pick number 32, and both of which I believe are position of needs. So why we traded out, it just astonishes me. It makes me feel like we kind of, you know, pulled the Browns there and just didn't do what we should have done. I want to kind of get your guys' take on that.
Well, first, and we appreciate not only the phone call, but you listening to us every day. We do love that.
I think that Todd Bowles did a very, pretty much showed that they really liked
Todd
Baker
Bowles,
Mayfield.
As the head coach of the Jets, was on with Scott Van Pelt last night on SportsCenter, and he was on with Stephen A. Smith today. He was asked not once but twice if Sam Darnold was the top quarterback on their draft board, and he was honest and told the truth in saying that they wanted to keep that private because they were all up there.
That's the first time I've ever heard somebody say anything other than, of course
he was. So, I think when the Jets made that trade to go up to 3, and you look back and you do realize that a lot of the discussion, the rumors, the leaks that are out there leading up to the draft, there was a lot of buzz about the Jets and Baker Mayfield. So when the Jets went up to 3, they were thinking Cleveland's going to take Sam Darnold.
Yep.
Saquon Barkley is going to go at 2, and the Jets are going to get their guy. So to sit there and to say that Cleveland should have taken Saquon Barkley 1 because Baker Mayfield would have been there at 4, I don't think there was any way Mayfield was going to be there at 4. So they went in, they made the right choice, in my opinion, at 1. I questioned Denzel Ward, who didn't look very good on one particular night inside Kinnick Stadium last year, but overall, the body of work, I get it. You have 1 and 4, and I like 1, 4 I was not sold on. I did not think they extracted maximum value for having 2 of the top 4 picks in the draft. But John Dorsey is all in on Baker Mayfield, and he's got some guys to throw to. I'm intrigued by the Browns. I really am. But I probably would have went in a different direction than them at 4. Let's keep the phone calls going here before we take our first break. Chad in Iowa City, go ahead.
Yeah, so last year, like, I'm an Arizona Cardinals fan, and, you know, last year nobody wanted Deshaun Watson, and I'm sitting there, you know, knowing that Carson Palmer's on one of his last years. And we let the Texans get him right in front of us. We didn't trade up, so I've been just fuming. And then when we signed Sam Bradford, I've never been more mad. And we got so lucky last night. And don't think I'm saying that Rosen's a savior. But to go from no hope at quarterback to a possible really good quarterback, it's a great feeling. And our GM lucked out. It's not that he was like on top of it. He just finally saw he could get in front of Miami, and thank God Gruden wanted to work with him. So I'm just curious your thought on that.
Chad, sometimes it's better to be lucky than good.
Chad's absolutely right. And I've seen Josh Rosen a couple of times, one time up close. And I know people, obviously, that he played against Memphis this year, and everybody walked away that day saying, just clamoring about how talented that guy is. The injury concerns are there. He's had concussion issues. He's been injured every year at UCLA. But he goes to a situation now where I don't think there are going to be questions about his work ethic or him being too smart or not needing football because he's so mad that he was passed up on. You actually...
He was, and he's still a top 10 pick.
He's
though.
Still a top 10 pick, but
that
he has that
special type of chip.
It does, but he has that anger in him, and he's the most talented quarterback in the draft. The question is, will they let him develop? And what's around him? Luckily, he goes to a situation where there's a pretty darn good running back that we're familiar with, and he'll be coming off an injury too.
Again, we will not be stepping aside at 6 o'clock tonight. We're going to have draft coverage on 1600 and 106.3 FM at 7 o'clock. We'll join it in progress. 107.5 FM listeners, we've got the Twins and the Reds tonight. Phil Hughes taking the mound for Minnesota. So if you want your draft coverage on 107.5 FM, 1600 AM will be simulcasting at that point. So draft or Twins, if you're a 1600/107.5 FM listener. The 6 o'clock hour tonight, we will be building that hour around the first several picks of the draft as we anticipate James Daniels and Josh Jackson. Hopefully he brought a second suit with him, and he can just transfer the lapel pin over. 426, step aside, take a quick timeout. Kyle is going to have a big board for you. It's a big weekend for the Iowa baseball team. We'll tell you who they've got coming into town. Colonels are on the road. He'll cover it all when we return after this.
Used car and truck shoppers, this weekend and only in beautiful Hiawatha. Pre-owned power buy pricing at the McGrath Used Car Campus through Monday night. This is the sale of over 2,500 quality used vehicles from $39.88. And full-size pickups, Silverados, F-150s, Sierras, power price from $11,988. Nowhere else in eastern Iowa, only at McGrath Used Car Campus, I-380 and Boyson Road in beautiful Hiawatha. Through Monday night, power by prices from $39.88. With credit amnesty, nobody's held back. You're approved. And at the McGrath Used Car Campus, full-size pickups from $11,988. The perfect gift for a graduating senior? Late model Chevy Cruzes from $10,988. Pre-owned power buys, every budget, every make and model. Cars from $39.88. Trucks from $11,988. And with credit amnesty, you're approved. The McGrath Used Car Campus through Monday night, I-380 and Boyson Road. For details, log on McGrathAuto.com.
Fixing your pavement can be more affordable than you think. Spring into action and stop dodging those cracks and potholes. Call Paint Asphalt. They can handle commercial parking lots, roadways, and your very own driveway. Serving the area for over 30 years, Paint Asphalt has decades of experience. Make your parking lot, roadway, and driveway look great. Pave it to last with Paint Asphalt. See them at paintasphalt.com.
Get everything you need for your projects during Menards Spring Catalog Sale. Make your yard stand out with an end cap grass repair kit. It quickly and effectively repairs bare spots, fills in thin areas, and blends with existing grasses. The all-in-one formula contains everything you need to sprinkle, water, and grow. A jug covers up to 400 square feet. $10.97 during Menards Spring Catalog Sale. Get spring savings now through April 29th. Plus, Menards gift cards are perfect for Mother's Day.
Save big money at Menards.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYN.
He's still out here trying to convince the world that he's the man.
Dan Kadar of SBNation.com with us in a matter of mere minutes as we'll look back on round one of the draft last night. You and I, football talk, baseball discussion, and a whole lot more on the way, including a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. That's all before 7 o'clock tonight, but right now, before we take our next break, we got to get a big board update in. Here's Kyle.
The NFL draft kicked off last night, and a couple Hawkeyes were disappointed not to have their names called. Both James Daniels and Josh Jackson were thought to be likely first-rounders, or at least possible first-rounders, but neither were selected and will make tremendous value picks for somebody at the top of the second round. Josie Jewell and perhaps Iowa State receiver Alan Lazard could also be in play as the second and third rounds take place tonight. Iowa baseball has a big weekend series with Michigan beginning today at Duane Banks Field in Iowa City. Michigan enters with a 20-game winning streak, the second-best streak in the country, and leading the Big Ten at 11-0. The Wolverines are ranked number 7 in the collegiate baseball rankings, but because that streak has come against very questionable competition, are only receiving votes in other polls. Iowa's Nick Allgaier is the Big Ten leader in strikeouts. He'll get the start today beginning at 6:05. The Colonels dropped 3 of 4 against the Burlington Bees, ending with a 10-5 loss yesterday. Bailey Ober made his starting debut after being called up from extended spring training yesterday. He only recorded 2 outs and surrendered 6 runs before being yanked in the first, so he starts his season with an ERA of 81. The Colonels then hit the road for a weekend series with the Quad Cities River Bandits. They're going to get started at 6:35 tonight. And then after the show, we'll join the coverage of the NFL Draft in progress. It'll be the second and third rounds tonight, and you can hear every pick on 1600 AM, the historic main gym, as well as 106.3 FM, the South Gym. We'll also have the Twins and Reds, and you can hear that game on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
We will talk Panther spring football with Cole Bear of the Cedar Rapids Gazette to lead off hour number 2 at 5 o'clock tonight. Lots more to get to. Dan Kadar joins us next.
If you're drafting a quarterback, what are you really looking for? Size, speed, arm strength?
Most experts would agree, it's accuracy. The same is true when you're hiring. You're not looking for attempts, you're looking for completions. You're looking for the right candidate for the job, and you can find them at ZipRecruiter.
ZipRecruiter's powerful technology learns what you're looking for, identifies people with the right experience, and invites them to apply to your job.
And our listeners can try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/draft. That's ZipRecruiter.com/draft.
ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
ESPN Radio Sports Center.
I'm Kevin Winter. Story we are following on Sports Center with 3 game 6s in the NBA playoffs tonight. The Washington Wizards down 3-2 to the Toronto Raptors. They will not have Otto Porter Jr. in the lineup. He is out indefinitely. He had surgery on his leg this morning. He had been dealing with a leg bruise, and then he had the MRI. Doctors were not a fan of what they saw. Surgery was needed. Out tonight, out for a potential game 7. And if Washington were to advance past the first round, who knows how long Otto Porter Jr. would be out for. But they'll tip tonight beginning at 7 p.m. Eastern time on ESPN News. Raptors and the Wizards from Capital One Arena. Toronto leads the series 3-2. Cleveland is in Indiana at 8 p.m. Eastern time. Cavs up 3-2. Jazz host the Thunder leading 3-2. 10:30 p.m. Eastern. Both of those games are on ESPN. On ESPN 2, it is coverage of rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL Draft. We'll start our coverage on ESPN Radio at the top of the hour. According to the Los Angeles Chargers, they will not re-sign Antonio Gates.
When you put your everything into your passion, amazing things can happen. Passion moves us forward. It's how you think. It's how we think. Courtyard by Marriott, the official hotel of the NFL.
When a player doesn't like a contract, what do?
They hold out?
They hold out for a better deal. If only you could do that with your wireless plan, right? Well, with the Bring Your Own Phone plan from Straight Talk Wireless, you can get a much better deal. Keep your phone, your number, even your same network for a lot less than you're paying now.
Without the contract.
Or the holdout.
Get the Ultimate Unlimited plan for just $55 a month on America's largest, most dependable 4G LTE networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart. Savings may vary. Video typically streams at DVD quality. Refer to the latest terms and conditions of service at straighttalk.com.
As soon as we're back out in our yard, yep, we get company.
Dandelions, lurking crabgrass, and weak, thin grass. But the all-new Scotts Turf Builder Triple Action takes care of them all. Now, with one bag, you can kill weeds, prevent crabgrass for up to 4 months, and feed for greener grass. Triple Action, so your lawn thrives, guaranteed. Only from Scotts.
Weeds aren't welcome here.
This is a Scotts yard. Pick up a bag of Scotts Triple Action today.
I was never the fastest, never the biggest, never the strongest. But I never let that stop me. I never lost my focus.
NFL Draft. The first round selection is...
Passion moves us forward. It's how you think, it's how we think. Courtyard by Marriott. Official hotel of the NFL.
Back to the Todd Brommelkamp Show, right here on KGYM.
We're supposed to be professionals.
4:35, welcome back. Jack Dom talking baseball with us tonight at 5:35. And plenty of draft discussion. Do you think the Cowboys are going to be taking a wide receiver or tight end early on in the first part of the draft tonight. Second and third rounds, Jason Witten surprising the Cowboys earlier today with his retirement. He is headed to the TV booth. Dez Bryant no longer in the picture with Dallas either, so lots of question marks there for Jason Garrett and the boys. Draft coverage, again, gets underway tonight. We will have it for you live in the studio at 6 o'clock, and then we'll join up on two of our three frequencies at 7 o'clock with ESPN's coverage in progress, round two. And by that point in time, we expect Josh Jackson and James Daniels to both be off the board. Love it or leave it at 6:30 tonight. Plenty to get to, but now coming through in the pinch for us, Dan Kadar of SBNation.com does a great job with his site mocking the draft. And Dan, as you look back on round one last night, did Cleveland get maximum value at 1-4 with Baker Mayfield and Denzel Ward?
Well, I think they got maximum value at one. It's just a matter of your opinion of the quarterbacks and how you'd rank them. Four, I think, is a little different story. You know, I like Denzel Ward quite a bit. He's a local guy for the Browns. But I don't know that he was going to be picked by anybody before, oh, say, 7, 8, or 9. So I think that was a little early for him. I think it's a little hard to get over passing on Bradley Chubb and for Ward. So that one's a little value contentious, but the quarterback, it's just a matter of how you have him ranked. And I like Rosen. I thought it might have been Darnold. I understand why it's Mayfield. So that one's a matter of opinion more so.
So we talked about the first pick in the first round. What about the last pick in the first round? What do you think of the Baltimore Ravens trading up and getting Lamar Jackson?
Oh, I love it. I mean, there's something symbolic about Ozzie Newsome in his last draft running the Baltimore Ravens, getting two players when he kind of started his career in the first round, getting Jonathan Ogden and Ray Lewis. So I really like the symbolism of it from Ozzie. I love the fact that Lamar Jackson was picked in the first round and picked as a quarterback. I think he's a really good player. I think he's going to sit there a year, obviously, and then the Ravens will go from there. At worst, this could push Joe Flacco, and if not, you know, I think Lamar Jackson's a franchise quarterback in the NFL. So to jump back in, you get the fifth year of a rookie deal, obviously, I think it was brilliant.
Plenty of Bears fans here in Eastern Iowa. Roquan Smith at 8 looks like an absolute steal there.
Yeah, it really was. Excuse me. The thought kind of going into the draft, at least over the last couple of days, was that Smith was probably in contention for the 6th pick in the Colts. So I think for him to still be there when the Bears picked, I think it was a smart choice. And to me, if you're choosing between him and Tremaine Edmonds of Virginia Tech, I think the draft kind of showed you the value of the two. Edmonds fell a little. Bears got Smith. To me, he's the definition of the modern NFL linebacker, just a fast, instinctive guy who can do everything on three downs. So I really like him a lot. I'm a huge fan of his. He was my 4th rated player coming into the draft, and I think he's going to be a star in Chicago.
Now, Dan, we have a lot of Vikings fans here in Eastern Iowa, and a lot of them wanted the Vikings to go the direction of Josh Jackson. Instead, they go the direction of Mike Hughes from Central Florida, and there are some fans a little worried about the character red flags that have been presented. What were your thoughts on the Vikings going after the UCF product?
Yeah, the character stuff is legit with him, unfortunately. So I like the fit in Minnesota from the standpoint of if anybody's going to kind of hold him accountable, it's Mike Zimmer. And Mike Zimmer's probably going to coach him personally for a little while there and make sure that he's good to go. But from a talent standpoint, I prefer Hughes a little bit for Minnesota just because he's more of a natural press guy, which is a paramount thing that they do in Minnesota. And Jackson, to me, is more of a zone guy. So from a scheme standpoint, I like Hughes there more than Jackson. But really, it was a surprise that the Vikings didn't take an offensive lineman with that pick. That's the shocking part to me.
SBNation.com's Dan Kadar with us as we take a look at round two of the draft, about to get underway at 6 o'clock tonight. The Packers, Brian Gutekunst, the new general manager, they're trading down from 14 and then back up to 18 to get Jaire Alexander, the cornerback out of Louisville. What do you think of that selection? And pretty clear that there's new leadership in Green Bay after this draft.
Yeah, boy, you're right there. I know Gutekunst wanted to make a name for himself in his first year, and to get a pick in the first round next year for basically free almost was brilliant. I mean, you can argue that they should have taken an edge rusher, but we're kind of seeing with Harold Landry of Boston College that he has some health stuff, unfortunately. So the backup for Green Bay with the whole time was a cornerback. And again, kind of like the quarterback stuff, it comes down to personal preference and how you rate them. And they like Alexander a whole lot. So to get a player you probably would have taken at 14 and get a first-round pick in 2019, I think that's a really strong way to start your career if you're Gutekunst.
The number two overall pick was a running back in Saquon Barkley, and then there were a couple of running backs late in that first round that had some people scratching your heads. What did you think of Seattle taking Rashad Penny out of San Diego State and then Sony Michel, the running back out of Georgia, going 31 to the Patriots?
Well, they were head scratchers for two different reasons for me. The first one, Penny, to me, he's a round three guy, and schematically, he fits great in Seattle. He's exactly the kind of player they want in a running back, but I think he could have been had later in the draft. I know they don't have a bunch of draft picks, but that one to me was a real surprise. I don't think anybody expected him to be picked in the first round. And Sony Michel, I scratched my head on that one because 31 other teams let him go to the Patriots, in the sense that when you describe a Patriots running back, he's a quick, athletic guy who can catch the ball. He can make players miss. He's got a little bit of strength, and that's Michel. He can do all those things. And he's the definition of what a Patriots running back is. And I think he's going to be a real, real good player there. And, you know, I'm really surprised that the rest of the NFL just kind of let him drop to New England. But that's what happens a lot with the Patriots.
Calvin Ridley going at 26 to Atlanta, is that sending a smoke signal about Julio Jones's future?
Boy, I'm not sure. It might be. You know, the thing with Julio is that he's starting to get a little older now. There's always been some questions about his ability in bigger games, but man, when he's on, I think he's the best wide receiver in the NFL. Maybe a change of scenery will do him good. But if they have both Ridley and Julio Jones, I think that's a great one, too. I like Ridley a lot. I think he's the best receiver in the draft, but I don't think he's one of those high-end number one type of guys. And I think he's a high-end number two, a low-end number one. But we'll see with Julio. I think that could be real interesting here.
Dan, I spent the better part of the first half hour of the show talking about John Gruden's first pick as the Raiders coach and Colton Miller getting drafted out of UCLA. Now, there's two trains of thought. There are the people that look at his workout numbers at the combine and salivate over him, then there are the people that actually watch him play and realize that there are a lot of technical issues with him. First of all, what'd you think of the pick, and do you have any confidence that Tom Cable can develop this kid?
Oof. Well, my first thought with the pick was that at least they traded back and were able to get a third-round pick that ended up turning into Martavis Bryant. So I think that in that regard, that was good at least. But, boy, Miller is a project. And, you know, to me, Tom Cable is kind of struck out on his development stuff. I mean, they've been adding players for years in Seattle on that offensive line, and really none of them have panned out. I mean, Jermaine Ifedi, he was the super athlete blocker in the draft last year, the year before, whenever that was. And he's still not good. And the Seahawks and Tom Cable weren't able to figure him out. So I don't have a lot of confidence that Cable can figure out Miller, who, you know, he's a really huge player. He's a good athlete, but he doesn't really play up to his size or his athleticism sometimes. It's really strange. So I think in the long run, he can be good. but you're asking a lot with Cable there. So we'll see. I was more confident in Miller's development if he would have been picked by the Patriots, for instance.
Speaking of the Patriots, do you feel they did a good job having their two picks in the first round? Isaiah Wynn at 23, and then, as we mentioned, Sony Michel at 31. There was a lot of intrigue about what Bill Belichick was going to do here, having two first-round picks.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. The talk about the Patriots before the first round started was that they're going to move around, whether it's up or down, or they would take the good defensive players who would be there, or they would maybe take Lamar Jackson. And they did none of those things. But, you know, Isaiah Wynn, the guard/tackle that they got, boy, he's really good. And I think he can push for the starting left tackle job there immediately, which, you know, if you say that statement in a vacuum, that's pretty impressive. But he's a really good player, and I think he's going to take over either that left tackle spot. He could push for a guard spot. So I like that move. Like I said, I like the Michel move. I do think they need to find some young talent on defense. So I think that's what they'll do today, but we'll see.
So we talked about Josh Jackson. On the topic of guards, which of the Iowa Hawkeyes are you more surprised that are still on the board? Is it Josh Jackson or James Daniels?
Oh, boy, that's a good question. I'm going to say Jackson just because we've seen a fair amount of cornerbacks go. The thing with Daniels is that, you know, we saw Ragnow go to the Lions and we saw Billy Price get picked by the Bengals. The thing with those two is that they're just these physical, nasty, mauler centers. And Daniels, the first thing he's described as being is athletic and not a finesse player necessarily, but he's a guy that's good in space. And so I wonder if it's a system fit for him. I think he's really, really good. There was some late word last week that the Bengals weren't going to take him if he was on the board, and I kind of think that doomed his first-round potential a little bit. But whoever gets him today is going to get a really good player, a guy that can start immediately. But still, I think Jackson, I'm more surprised that he is still there.
What are your expectations early on in round two tonight at 6 o'clock? Some of the names that should be off the board fairly early. Who's getting a first-round pick tonight, basically?
A lot of teams are getting first-round picks. I think, you know, I do a mock draft every Monday beginning in December. It's really, really kind of gross. But a lot of the guys that are still there, at one point or another, they were in the discussion for the first round. Probably 25 or so of the guys that are going to be picked tonight. So I think it's going to be a strong night for running backs, starting with Darius Geis of LSU. I'm interested to see where Mason Rudolph, the quarterback from Oklahoma State, goes. You know, would you be shocked if he went to the Giants at 30, 34, whatever that is? So those guys are going to be in there, and then there's going to be a big grab bag of wide receivers. And so, you know, if you need a skill position on offense, I think this is a good night for you.
Well, let's talk about the wide receivers, because there were not a lot of them in the first round, and it just seems like there's a cluster of them with round two grades or late round one grades. Do you expect a big run of them, guys like Cortland Sutton and DJ Chark and Christian Kirk and Anthony Miller?
Yeah, you know, the thing with these wide receivers,
apologies there. I think we lost Dan. That's okay. We were pretty much at the end of our time with him anyway. And valuable insight. Dan Kadar, SBNation.com, his website, mockingthedraft.com. And at least he has a sense of humor about, what did he call it? He said it was sick that he did a mock draft every Monday. So if you're in the industry and you know that it's kind of a sickness, I give you credit for acknowledging that, but we'll see what happens tonight with the beginning of the second round. Again, we'll have it for you. We're bringing it to you until Josh Jackson and James Daniels are off the board tonight. I think, unless there's been any movement here earlier today, you've got Cleveland with the first and third picks in the draft tonight. The Giants are in between, and then Indianapolis at 4 and 5. The sporting news We were going to have Eric Gelko on with us earlier today, and he had to bail. But Eric Gelko has the Giants taking James Daniels with that number two pick in the second round. And then he has the Colts taking Josh Jackson with one of the two picks that they have. So Josh Jackson and James Daniels projected to go off the board tonight within the first five picks, according to the Sporting News. So we'll see. There's still a lot of money and prestige with being a top second-round pick. You don't necessarily get some of the trappings that you do when you get drafted on Thursday night, but Sean Green was a second-round draft pick, went on to have a very nice career in the NFL. Bob Sanders was a second-round pick. So it doesn't really matter at this point where you're drafted. Desmond King last night tweeted, fifth-round pick, first-round talent. And I think a couple teams are definitely going to get a steal here in taking the Hawkeyes early on. There's a lot of talent that's left in this draft, and you can point to five quarterbacks being taken in the first round, only the third time in the quote-unquote modern era of the draft that that's happened, pushed a lot of talent down the draft board. And it's always interesting to see whether there's going to be any movement here with teams trying to come up and maybe grab a guy that they would have valued as a first-round pick who's still floating out there at the top of the second round.
I'm going to talk about this during Love It or Leave It, but I think when we look back on this draft, we're going to look at the second round as having a lot of starters and having a lot of Pro Bowlers, because I looked at 16 or 17 names that I think could be drafted in the second round this evening who might be starters in year one. So we'll talk about that during Love It or Leave It, but I'm excited to see, especially where Josh Jackson and James Daniels go off the board.
For you golf aficionados out there, I'll let you know that Zach Johnson and his playing partner did make the cut at the Zurich Classic in New Orleans. They were at 8-under today. Michael Kim and Andrew Putnam were the leaders in the clubhouse at 13-under. Kind of an interesting event taking place there in New Orleans. And a little bit of an issue on the 18th hole today. They had to pause play while the officials dealt with an alligator on the fairway, which is something that you do have to deal with occasionally when you're golfing in the
Rest
South.
Rest in peace, Chubbs.
Yeah, I don't think it was probably that same gator.
No.
But I do remember playing
Did it have both eyes?
We played the TPC Tampa Bay several years ago when we were covering an Outback Bowl. The Hawkeyes, I think it was the year that Iowa played and beat South Carolina, but Zach Johnson got a tee time for some of us at the TPC Tampa Bay. And the starter is there on hole number one, and he made very clear, if your ball goes anywhere near a body of water, just go ahead and leave the ball in the water because you've got to worry about the gators. So we saw a couple of them on the course that day, but we didn't have any hand-to-hand combat. Yes, rest
Smart.
In peace, Chubbs. 453. We've still got a $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. We're going to hook somebody up with that before 7 o'clock tonight. Plenty more to get to, including UNI football. The Panthers are hosting their spring game tonight. That kicks off a little over an hour from now at the Unidome in Cedar Falls. Cole Bear of the Cedar Rapids Gazette is going to be with us in just a few minutes to preview Mark Farley's spring football game. 4:54, quick timeout. We'll come back. We'll get you a big board, and then on to hour number two, back after this.
Smart FM, your We Will Rock You. We are the champions. Start me up. Taking care of business. Welcome to the jungle. Hot-blooded. Rock and roll all night. Freebird, don't stop believing. Back in black. Sweet Caroline. Bum, bum, bum. Station. On Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Can buying a used car feel like new? At Toyota of Iowa City, all used cars come with pre-owned continued care. That's 2 years of oil changes, tire rotations, multi-point inspections, and car washes with every service appointment, plus 10% off maintenance items. That's a new car experience for a pre-owned purchase. Shop today at toyotaiowacity.com or stop in to see us. Pre-owned continued care only at Toyota of Iowa City. It's what we do.
See dealer for details.
Back to the Todd Brommelkam Show, right here on KGYM.
If you want to indulge this fantasy, that's your business. Don't make it mine.
Welcome back in. It is time to send things over to Kyle. He's got your second big board of the evening.
The NFL draft kicked off last night, and a couple Hawkeyes were disappointed not to have their names called. Both James Daniels and Josh Jackson were thought to be likely, or at least possible, first-rounders, but neither were selected and will make tremendous value picks for somebody at the top of the second round. Josie Jewell and perhaps Iowa State receiver Alan Lazard could also be in play as the second and third rounds take place tonight. Iowa baseball has a big weekend series with Michigan beginning today at Duane Banks Field in Iowa City. Michigan enters with a 20-game winning streak, the second-best streak in the country, and leading the Big Ten at 11-0. The Wolverines are ranked number 7 in the collegiate baseball rankings, but because that streak has come against very questionable competition, they're only receiving votes in all the other polls. Iowa's Nick Allgaier is the Big Ten leader in strikeouts, and he'll get the start today beginning at 6:05. The Colonels dropped 3-4 against the Burlington Bees, ending with a 10-5 loss yesterday. Bailey Ober made his starting debut after being called up from extended spring training just yesterday. He only recorded 2 outs and surrendered 6 runs before being yanked in the first, so he starts his Colonel season with an ERA of 81. The Colonels then hit the road for a weekend series with the Quad Cities River Bandits, and they'll get started at 6:35 tonight. And then after our show, we're going to join coverage of the NFL Draft in progress. It'll be the second and third rounds tonight, and you can hear every pick on 1600 AM, the historic Main Gym, as well as 106.3 FM, the South Gym. We'll also have the Twins and Reds, and you can hear that game on 107.5 FM, the North Gym.
I think the more interesting news for Twins fans and Colonels fans today is they added a couple pitchers to the roster, and one of those pitchers goes by the name of Bruzdar Graterol. He's one of the top prospects in the Twins organization. They think he has some of the best raw stuff of any pitcher. I mean, you got Fernando Romero, Steven Gonsalves, some guys we've seen come through Cedar Rapids. Bruzdar Graterol is supposed to be right there, and he will presumably be making his Colonel's debut at some point this weekend in Davenport. So big addition to the Colonel's roster.
Is his nickname the Bruiser?
I don't know.
Because if it isn't, it should be.
He touches triple digits. He's already had Tommy John surgery, and while he was recovering from Tommy John surgery, he puts on 40 pounds of muscle, and he comes back, and he's not throwing in the upper 80s anymore. He's throwing 100-plus. So I know the Twins are very high on him, and we'll still wait to see Wander Javier at some point, but this Colonel's roster, which is loaded with talent, has even more talent on the way. Fridays here on the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn are presented by Two Rivers Bank and Trust. They have free checking at Two Rivers Bank and Trust. No minimum balance, no monthly service charges, free checking that's actually free. Two Rivers Bank and Trust member, FDIC. Hour number one is in the books. Cole Bear, the Cedar Rapids Gazette, is with us next.
Winning at sports.